Praise Him for how good He's been. Amen. What a Savior. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Numbers. I believe I heard Brother Joe say one time, he said, book of Numbers is the most scariest book in the Bible. It means God's writing it all down. Amen. He's numbering it all. Amen. Numbers chapter 24. Good to see you here today for first Sunday of the year. No better place to be than to be at church. Amen. Worship the Lord with friends and family. Amen. Good to see Matt. Been a while since we've seen him. Amen. Amen. Brought that new grandbaby. Amen. That's why Miss Dawn's so tickled and testifying about. Amen. Them grandbabies will change your life. Amen. Thank the Lord for the grandbabies. Good to meet his wife. Amen. They told me this morning who she was. I said, well, we've heard a lot about you, just never saw you. Amen. People talk about family they love. Appreciate that. Amen. Numbers chapter 24. Whatever Matt told you about his preacher, you don't believe a thing he said. Numbers 24. Amen. Balaam here is, if you study the life of Balaam, you find back chapter 22, 23, 24, so on and so forth. And Balaam is he's a type of a hireling. Well, not really a type. He is a hireling. Amen. Balak tries to hire him to curse the children of Israel. And, you know, to a certain extent, Balaam's willing to take the bribe to get what he wants. But inside the story of the life of Balaam, Balaam still speaks some great truths. Amen. Somebody said a broke clock's right twice a day. And a blind squirrel can find a nut. Amen. So Balaam does say some good things. And I want to take a little verse, really a little thought of a verse, and give you something that I believe that it would be applicable for today. I heard a lot already all day about the new year, and rightfully so. It is a new year. It's a fresh look of a new start sometimes. Amen. People say, well, God don't really count days. I'd care to differ with you there. Amen. God told us to teach us to number our days.
Yeah, right.
That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, amen. And New Year's, I know some people make it something other than what God would want it to be, but it is a time of reflection.
Right.
Is it a time of maybe refocusing? It's a time of maybe setting some goals for the upcoming year, especially when they're biblical.
Amen.
Amen. So, let me take this thought. Look in Numbers 24. Let's just read a little bit. Read verse number 1, Numbers 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. See, that's what God wanted him to do the whole time. And Balak wanted him to curse Israel. And he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Sometimes we need to set our face in the right direction and stop chasing and seeking for enchantments. Verse number 2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in the tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. So we know he's speaking by the inspiration of God. And he took him up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor have said, and the man whose eyes are open have said. So God has opened his eyes. God has given him some discernment, if you will. Verse 4, he have said, which heard the words of God. And that'll help us all just to hear the words of God. So he heard the words of God, which is a little phrase I want to preach on this morning. You'll see it as we read it, and it makes application for the day. Which saw the vision of the Almighty. Balaam has heard the words of God, and Balaam has saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacle, O Israel. Look down to verse number 16. He makes the same statement, but he adds a little bit here. Verse 16, he have said, which heard the words of God, here's what he adds, and knew the knowledge of the Most High. Hearing the words of God can bring us knowledge of the Most High. Now look what he said again. He said, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And I want to preach on that thought this morning, seeing the vision of the Almighty. Or maybe you can title it the vision for the new year. Let us pray. Amen. Brother Terry Brooks, pray for us if you would, brother.
Precious Heavenly Father, come to you, Father, to pray in the name of the Lord.
Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Father, for another opportunity back at the house of God today, Father. Thank you for many blessings.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes.
I pray and ask, Father, that you'd help the man of God this morning.
God help us.
Pray that you'd open our hearts and minds, Father, receive it. Father, help us this year, Father, Lord, to walk closer to thee, Father, to maybe be a better witness for you this year, Father. Just pray that you help us. Need your help, Father. Just pray, Father, if there's one here, don't know you.
God help us, yes.
Father, today will be their day of salvation. Pray that your Holy Spirit can get the hearts. Thank you for loving us. Christ's name we pray.
Amen. I think your Bible's turned me to the book of Proverbs. Let me show you a very familiar verse. He saw the vision of the Almighty. The vision of the Almighty. Balaam is a hireling here, but it is speaking some truth about seeing the vision of the Almighty, what God has shown him. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29. A vision. Amen. A vision by definition simply means several things, but one of them is an actual sight. You got vision. Mine's getting a little weak. That's what I have these readers on. Amen. It's actual sight, a vision. You can see things. It's not only an actual sight, but it's something imagined to be seen. It's a vision. You imagine that you saw something. Amen. Hey, maybe a pressing upon your heart from God, seeing something by faith, trusting the Lord in a type of a vision. A vision in the Scriptures is a revelation from God. You read the book of Isaiah chapter 1:1, Isaiah by the vision of the Lord. Amen. Daniel spoke by the vision of the Lord. Ezekiel spoke by the vision of the Lord. Hosea, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Hey, even Peter, he even saw a vision in Acts chapter number 10 of that sheet coming down and God revealing him truths. Apostle Paul saw visions in chapter number 16. Now I know that we're not going to see some actual vision of something showing up before our eyes, but we're to have some kind of a sight beyond sight, a fake vision, a thing like God has put before us that we're going to trust God for. Hey, some vision for the new year, amen. Hey, the vision of the Almighty. Let's see what God wants us to see and reach forth to those things which are before. God's visions will come to us by the Word of God itself and align up with His book. Amen. Hey, somebody said, look in Proverbs chapter 29. Look in verse number 18 here. Proverbs 29:18. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Once again, we see the vision is connected with the law, the Word of God. Amen. God's Word will reveal to us what He wants us to know. Amen. Hey, someone said a long time ago, I can't help but to read this verse and think about these three thoughts. Amen. When you talk about no vision, without a vision, hey, number one, people perish. Hey, people are going in the wrong direction without a vision. Amen. Hey, not only does people perish, but that progress ceases. Amen. Amen. Hey, potential fails. Amen. When there's no vision, amen, we're not going forward. We're not reaching forward. Things are failing in our life. Hey, people need to get a vision of the Almighty.
Amen.
Some sight from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Dr. Rutman said this. I like it. I'll just read it to you about this verse. A Christian must maintain three visions. What three visions must we maintain? The vision of the risen Christ. Hey, thank God up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph of His soul. Hey, a risen of the vision of the risen Lord lets us know there's hope for tomorrow. Amen. Hey, there's a reunion day one day. One day we're going to get up and see Him again. We need to keep a vision of the risen Lord. Amen. We're not defeated, amen. Hey, our Savior's a winner and we're on the winning side, amen.
Amen.
We need to maintain a vision of the risen Lord, our risen Christ. He said not only a vision of the risen Lord, but of the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21:22. Hey, why I need a vision of the New Jerusalem? Man, this is not my home.
Right.
I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just a passing through, amen. Hey, don't get your mind out on here. Hey, set your affections on things above. Hey, God, thank God we need to keep a vision of the New Jerusalem. We go home one day, amen.
Amen.
You get to looking at all this despair down here, instead of looking at the risen Lord where there's hope, and you get to look at this whole world instead of the New Jerusalem, you're going to lose your joy. He said also you need to keep a vision, thirdly, of the harvest field.
Yeah, amen.
People are dying without Jesus Christ. A Christian can lose the vision of unsaved people in hell, and is absolutely good for nothing. You know, when we lose our vision, we are going down.
Amen.
He said a false vision is worse than no vision at all. Some people have got false visions. They got their eyes in the wrong place. Amen. Hey, what the world calls a vision is depravity generated in annihilation. Amen. All unsaved prophets have the same vision in this whole world. You know what their visions? All they said they're like this. Amen. Number one, let's just get everybody together. That's what the world wants to do. Tear down the standards. Tear down the wall. Let's just all come together. Let's all become one. That's the vision of the Antichrist. He's trying to bring this whole world together. If you don't soon get your head out of the dirt and see what's going on in this world, they're trying to bring over us one government, one money, one income, one religion. Hey, let's just all come together. That is a false vision of the devil. That ain't of God, amen. They want to tear it all down. Let's get everybody together. Let's level all religions, classes, sexes, and races. Boy, are we not there today? Amen. Hey, everybody's not the same. Things are different are not the same. Amen. And they just want to tear it all down. Look what we got. A melting pot of depravity. Amen. They also have a vision of have everybody share equally. Amen. No matter how hard you work, let's just make sure we take care of that bum that won't do nothing. Ain't nothing biblical in any of that stuff. It's a false prophet's vision, amen. Eliminate war and capital punishment, amen. Hey, let's populate outer space. Man, it don't take much to see that that's the vision of this whole world. But God's people need to get a right vision, a godly vision, a vision of the Almighty, and press forward. Forgetting those things which are behind has been said several times today. Amen. Hey, and this new year, taking a fresh look. Hey, we need to apply our hearts to wisdom and number our days. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. A new year should be a time of examining the past and planning for the future. Amen. Hey, I thought about this the other day about this vision for the new year. Have you ever really, you know timelines? We use timelines to teach the Bible, you know. The beginning, in the beginning God, right? And then the end, there's going to be a millennial reign in eternity. And we draw a timeline out that shows history throughout the Bible. And we mark the timeline with the cross and the resurrection. And then the church age. And then the rapture of the church. And then the tribulation. And then the millennial reign. It's a timeline that shows for history itself.
Right.
I thought about that. Hey, have you ever took time to write a timeline of your life? I mean, I challenge you to do that sometime, maybe this upcoming week, to sit down and draw a timeline of your life. Everybody's got a beginning, their birth. You were born in this world in X time of day. And hopefully somewhere down the timeline of life, which is going to lead to the end of your life, when we're going to die, amen. It's like Brother James said the other day about this verse in Psalms 90, when he's teaching on that so greatly the other day in Sunday school, about our lives. We have a beginning and we have an end and we have a dash. It shows our lifespan. Or maybe it can be a blank line and you just fill it out and that's what it is. That's your life. You ever drew a timeline of your life? I hope it can go somewhere like this, that there's a timeline when you were born. I know you got that one. We all got that one. But maybe somewhere on that timeline where you got saved. Amen. I can draw my timeline into my mind a little bit and I can see at the age of 21, God saved me. And for 21 years, my past life, which was wasteful, which was filled with the world, filled with the devil, and filled with my own lust. Hey, thank God on the timeline of my life, there's been a salvation day. Amen. Teach us to number our days and we apply our hearts in the wisdom. Hey, there's a day and a time in my life where I met the Savior and God saved my soul. And on the timeline of my life, there should be a time after salvation where I was baptized and trusted the Lord in obedience and showing that confession to the world. And that's on my timeline. And maybe on the timeline, there could be some times where the first prayer that was answered in your life. And maybe more prayers after that. Or maybe the first convert that you led to the Lord. Or maybe in my case, the first sermon that I ever preached and the calling of God on my life to be a pastor. Hey, my timeline goes forth and I wanted to keep progressing forward for God. Amen. What's your timeline look like? Hey, is there a time when you were saved? Is there a time when you begin to do something for the Lord? I believe everybody in their lives in the new year, you think about that thought of the new year and going forward. Hey, everybody's life should either at least be standing still or pressing forward. You say standing still, preacher, that's not very encouragement. Well, it's better than going backwards. Hey, there's sometimes, maybe 2022 wasn't really a progression in your life, but thank God you held the fort and stood where you stood. When you've done all the stand there for. Hey, some of you here this morning, that last year you had a rough life and it was kind of hard, but thank God you're still standing, amen. You didn't go back, but you didn't really go forward much, but you stood firm on the Word of God and trusted God with your life. Timeline. Teach us the number of our days. Amen. What have you done with your life? I want to give you three thoughts that I spent on my heart, that maybe as a church and maybe as a church family, of a vision for the new year, of some things I'd like to see the Lord do. I'd like to see happen. Do you know what I'd like to see, first of all? Not necessarily this order. I've given to you in this order. Probably the least and most of all of them, but it is a thought of the new year and a vision of the Almighty. You know what I'd like to see around the church here, our church family? I'd like to see more construction. You say, that's kind of worldly. Yeah, but we got a building project going. Now I want to see it done. Now, let me say this before I go any further with this thought. Hey, building does not always mean blessings of God. I mean, you can build and build and build, and God not be a mile in it, a million miles within it, amen. Amen. But I believe our building project is something that's godly, amen. I believe building for the future of the gospel, and especially when God is in it, is something that I'd like to see go forward. I'd like to see the building complete. I'd like to see the Sunday school classrooms put in there so children can have a place to grow in the admonition of the Lord and learn the Word of God and maybe be saved and things can go forward for God. Hey, I want to see more construction going forward in the church house, amen. I want to see the building done. I want to see the roof put on. I want to see the windows installed and the siding put on. Hey, I want to see the building construction progress for the Lord. Amen. Why? Because I believe God's in it. Amen. Amen. Yes, it's been fought against. Brother Charlie Andrews said one time, I don't want to be a part of anything that the devil's not fighting. Amen. I like that. I like that statement. Amen. I don't want to be a part of anything the devil's not fighting. Amen. Hey, yeah, the devil's fighting. Amen. But I want to see it go forward. I want to see God get victory and God's people see prayers answered. Amen. Amen. I want to see it done. Amen. Hey, what does building produce? Let me tell you a couple of things that I believe that building produces. And I've seen it in the past where building and construction has been done around the church, and we can look back and see where God's brought us from and where we're at today. You know what I know building does? It brings unity. God's people working together. I like the layout and the way our church operates. And some people don't have it blessed that way, and right, you know it is what it is. People, you know, God puts it together how He wants it to be put together. But God's put ours together in a fitly fashion, where we have all types of different construction workers that we don't have to sub anything out. We can all do it within. And when we're doing it within and everybody's pulling their load and doing their part, that's like in the spiritual aspect of the church, there's physical things that can be done. And thank God it brings unity when God's people come together and work. Amen. I like work days at church. I like getting around God's people in fellowship and cutting up, amen, and trying not to fall off a ladder and break our necks, amen. Hey, but it brings unity to see that God's people have put their hands in it. Hey, they're working and it brings hard work out of people, amen. These young people that's been out here to work around our building project, at one day if the Lord tarries, and I believe He might come back this year, but if He don't, if the Lord tarries, they can look back and say, I had my hand in there. I remember me and my daddy went out to the church house and cut wood and nailed up nails, amen, and done something for God. Hey, what hand did you put in your children, amen? I want to see more construction. I want to see the unity increase around the church. God's people coming together and getting something done. Hey, you know what a building project does? It shows there's life in this church. And when the world rides by and they see something new coming up, then people ain't dead. Amen. I know it's not a big thing like the brother said this morning, but the grass keeps being cut and the building keeps being added to. There's life going on down there. There's people ain't dead and drying up, going in the towel. There's still pressing on till Jesus comes. Amen. I like seeing life, don't you? I don't want to see some dilapidated building, amen, with no integrity about it, amen. Hey, a building produces unity. It produces life and excitement, amen, around the world. There's life down in the church. Amen. Building. It produces faith. Amen. Building for the future. It brings rewards in the work of God. Amen. Hey, I want to see more construction around the church this year. I want to see it outwardly and inwardly. I want to see it spiritually and physically. I want to see God's hand and God's movement and God's people pressing forward for the cause of Christ. Amen. A vision of the Almighty. I want to see that. I want to see more construction. I want to see, number two, I want to see more consistency. As a pastor, what do you want to see, preacher? I want to see the construction. I want to see the faith. I want to see the work of God's people go forward. I want to see prayers answered. I want to see consistency. I want to see more growth out of God's children.
Yeah.
Growth, spiritual growth. Not stagnant. Not laying around. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, right? 2 Peter chapter 3. More consistency. You know what we need to see in the church this year? We need to see more consistency out of God's people. Amen. Some more, if you will, biblical, the word is steadfastness. Steadfast. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Some steadfastness, some consistency. Amen. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, that's speaking to you something new. I haven't got no new revelation this morning. Something you already know. Amen. Beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own what? You already know it. But if you're not careful, that wicked one, that deception of the devil will try to pull you away from your own steadfastness. He'll use brethren against you. He'll cause division among you, amen. He'll try to cause strife and cause you to fall away from your own steadfastness. But the Bible says, but growing grace. Get a little more grace this year. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, get a little more knowledge this year. Hey, why? Hey, to Him be glory both now and what? Forever, amen. Hey, let God get some glory out of your life right now. Not just one day that we read in the future in Revelation chapter number 4 where we're going to cry, holy, holy Lord, holy Lord God Almighty. Hey, we're going to give Him glory then. Let's give Him glory now, amen. I want to see more consistency out of God's people. You know what I like to see out of some people? Hey, their lives get more than just one service a week.
Yeah, amen.
Let me just back up before I go any further. They, some people, that's all they can stand.
Yeah, amen.
Now, thank God for that.
Yeah,
but you know what? Some of you can stand more than that.
Yeah, right.
They, some people, they can't come but one service a week. Let me just back up a little bit further than that. They, some people, can come more than what they're coming right now. Hey, some people that ain't coming to church at all, you can be coming some.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, some people that they couldn't make it all the whole hour of worship service, but you can make 30 minutes of preaching.
Yeah.
You know what God expects out of you? Whatever you can do.
Yeah, right.
I'm not trying to put anybody in a box and put anybody on the same level because everybody's health and physical condition is not the same. But I'm sure that some people can be doing a lot more than what they're doing.
Yeah.
Listen, let me just break. I heard my brother friend down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, preaching the other day about the church and the local church, and he said it about his church, and I know, you know, it kind of stuck my heart. I could say that about the church I pastor. He said, you know what? If you could sit in the hospital, in the doctor's office for a checkup for 45 minutes, I'm sure you might could sit in church for 45 minutes. Now, I'm not trying to say you can come Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, but you can go out to the restaurant and sit down for an hour. I believe you maybe can give God an hour down at church. I believe we're losing our vision, amen. We're losing our standards. We're losing our convictions, amen. We're not giving God what we can. God never asked you to do what you couldn't, but God does ask you to do what you can. Hey, there needs to be some more consistency out of God's people. I'd hate to know I'm giving the world more than I'm giving God. I still believe God believes in old time worship down the house of God. I still believe the church has a place in a Christian's life and he ought not to forsake the assembly of themselves together as a man of such is. I know that's the book of Hebrews chapter number 10, but I can go to 1 Corinthians 16 where we're just short on the first day of the week and still worship God. Amen. I believe we ought to be giving God what's right, not what's left. Can you do what you, can you do if that's all you can do? And you can hold your hand up before the Lord with a clear conscience? Glory be to God. I'm just asking you to examine yourself. See whether you're doing what you can do. Amen. Hey, I'd like to see more consistency out of God's people. I'd like to see a saint of God that maybe, you know, they ain't been saved long and all you're getting is Sunday morning out of them. I'd like to see a little Sunday school out of them. I believe it's a good place to grow in grace and the wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God. Hey, maybe if you got Sunday morning and Sunday school down, maybe a little more Sunday nights.
Yeah, right.
If you got that, maybe a Wednesday night. Maybe, hey, I understand the work schedule. I understand what people go through, but hey, are we giving God what's right? That's what I want to see. That's the vision. I say I want to see growth out of God's children. Amen.
Amen.
We are easy to make excuses, but I believe honestly, not much of us gonna hold water before God. There needs to be more consistency to church, steadfastness, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hey, more consistency in the church, maybe more consistency in walking in the Spirit instead of fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Christian growth is what I'm talking about. Amen. Hey, you know what that walking in the Spirit will do? It'll change your spirit and outlook of life. I'm talking about Christian growth. Amen. Where you have, you know, less lapse of bad attitude. Then we're all in the flesh. We're all every once in a while going to swing a golf club. Man said it this morning in confession, you know. Hey, but you know what? It might not be a golf club, but we've done something. And our attitude needs to be checked up a little bit, every one of us. Maybe a little bit more consistency in our lives. And there's less lapse of bad spirit in our lives. More walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I'm talking about Christian growth. Get a vision of going farther for God. A little less likely to fly off the handle and run your mouth. Amen. Maybe a little more greater attitude toward the things of God. Hey, some consistency. Some growth in Christianity. Hey, we ought to be getting further than we've been.
Right.
You ought not to be going backwards, amen. Maybe a little more Spirit-filled walk. Less being controlled by the Spirit. Hey, maybe a little bit more Bible reading this year. Yeah, on that timeline of life, remember I said something about that timeline of life? I believe everybody, so sooner or later, unless I understand your age, maybe a little bit younger, and how much you can handle in your mind, how far you can go with your literacy is concerned. But I believe there would be a point, if you grow enough in age, that there would be a timeline, on your timeline of life, where I read my Bible through for the first time. If you drew out your timeline, you can put a conversion, an answer of prayer, a little more faithfulness to church, and God, fell in love with the house of God, and maybe the first time I ever read my Bible through is a marker. Can you put that one on yours? Timeline of life? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Right.
We walk by faith and not by sight. How are we going to know what's going on if we won't get our head in that book?
Right.
And somebody said, get it off Facebook and get it in the book.
Right.
Spend more time on the Word of God than we do on social media.
Yeah,
hey, we're more consumed with television than we are on the Word of God. There's something wrong with our lives, amen. There'd be more consistency to that book, amen. You say, I've never read it through in my life. Hey, what a great day to begin on the first day of the year. Get a reading schedule and keep up and go through.
Amen.
That's a goal to reach, amen. You say, I've already read it, then start over and do it again.
Amen.
But to never stop reading the Word of God. That thing's alive, it's quick and powerful, man. That ain't just some magazine. That's God's words to you and I.
Amen.
And they're fresh and they're new for us every day of our lives. There'll be more consistency in that book. When you get more consistency in that book, it'll show and reflect in your life the way you live. I heard somebody say the other day, I don't know, good challenge, do whatever you want to do with it. One brother said, I believe it was Brother Green. We support him as an evangelist. He said he's going to try in the month of January to read his whole Bible through in the month of January. So I don't know if that's possible. I don't know, but I don't believe it hurts you if you tried. I don't believe it hurts you one bit if you try. And it just might be accomplished, but I guarantee you it never would be accomplished if you never start. A little bit more consistency to the Word of God. That'll change that spirit. That'll change that attitude. That'll help us to walk in the Spirit and fulfill the will of God in our lives. Hey, maybe not just reading it, but more applying it to our lives. Be not hearers of the Word, but doers also. So there's no deception of our own selves. What about a little bit more Christian growth, a little bit more consistency in our prayer life?
Amen.
Praying for others more. Getting a hold of the horns of God and talking on, going interceding on someone else's behalf, amen. Hey, what about a little bit more prayer time? What about a little bit more talking to God instead of talking about others?
Right.
I'm talking about Christian growth. I'm talking about consistency. Hey, a vision for the new year that's going to look closer to God, a little more work done for Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, amen, there ought to be a come a time in our lives where we stop flopping around, amen, when we put away childish things. Start going a little further for the Lord. I want to see more construction this year. I want to see more consistency out of God's people, amen. A little more steadfastness. Let me say this, amen. I want to see a little more conversions this year. I mean, don't you? I mean, look in John chapter number 4. Amen. This has exhorted us, exhorted the apostles by the Lord, and I believe it still exhorts us today. John chapter number 4. Maybe a little more conversion. Amen. Hey, what are you doing that somebody might escape hell and go to heaven?
Yeah, right.
Vision for the new year. Amen. The Bible talks about when the Holy Ghost come upon them in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, they will be witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That shows the progression of the gospel, how it goes from right in your home, to your neighborhood, to the city, to the county, to the state, to the nation, to the world. A little more conversion. John chapter number 4, Jesus has dealt with a woman at the well. Look down to verse number 34. After His apostles, disciples had came back. The Bible said in John 4 and verse number 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what's wrong with the average child of God? We'll do it tomorrow. 4 months. Then it's time. Jesus said, don't say there's 4 months. It's time right now.
Yeah, right.
Well, maybe a little bit later. No, today is the day. Right now is the time to make decisions in your life. Not tomorrow.
Amen.
Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. But right now, perform the doing of it.
Amen.
You've been forward a long time. You've talked about it for a long time. Now is time to get busy.
Amen.
Say, not as 4 months. He said, you know what we need to do? We need to lift up our eyes. You can get your head out of the dirt. Already, verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto a life eternal, that both he and that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. You know what God wants you to do? Sow. If there's a chance, reap. But the main thing is, just labor. Get involved in the work of souls. More conversions. Do you know that your sowing increases the chances of more reaping? The more you sow, the greater the chances there to reap a harvest.
Amen.
The less you sow, the less there's going to be reaping. You listen, let me just say this. God never told you to save anybody. That's God's business. But God did command us to sow.
Right.
And if He allows us to reap, glory be to God. But you know what? You'll never see more conversions unless there's more sowing.
Right.
What do you mean, preacher? More gospel tracts handed out this year.
Yeah.
I'd like to have to order more this year than we did this last year. We ordered a bunch. My brother orders them all the time. Hey, we need more tracks, need more tracks. Hey, I'd like to have to aggravate him every month. We need more tracks. They're running out. God's people are sending them out. They're handing them out. They're testifying. They're witnessing to the lost. Hey, people need Jesus.
Amen.
Now they go, how was you reached? Through someone's prayers, through someone's witness, through someone's life. Hey, we need to see more conversions.
Amen.
Get a vision of lost souls on the way to hell. Lift up your eyes on the field. Man, it's time to go to work.
Amen.
They need more than some story about some life. They need to know about the Savior that came to this world and died for their sins.
Amen.
More conversions. More witnessing. You know what I'd like to see this year? I'd like to finally see the prayer answer where somebody gets a burden from God and is willing to take those van keys and run around to bring sinners to the house of God.
Amen.
We prayed about it like we prayed about that bill. I want to see it come to pass.
Amen.
I want to see somebody get a vision and burden for souls. I want to see something done for God.
Right.
And say, here I am, preacher, what do you want? Where can I run a route? Who can I pick up? Let me go forward for God.
Yeah, amen.
Maybe you can't run a church route, but maybe you can pick up somebody in your car.
Yeah.
Maybe you can be a little bit inconvenienced of your life to bring somebody down the house of God. Our brother testified earlier. I know what I'm going to preach about how he got saved, Brother Nolan. And how when he got into despair of his life, it was those years of riding that church van somewhere down in Georgia that I have no clue. And I don't know who drove the van. I don't know if he even still remembers. Maybe ask him later and find out. Hey, but somebody had a burden to pick up young kids and bring them down to the house of God. I don't care if they're young, middle-aged, elderly. It doesn't matter. People need to be brought in the Word of God. That when something breaks loose in their life, has something been instilled in down the house of God, through the Word of God, through Sunday school, through preaching, and God can bring forth fruit and bring forth the harvest when it's needed to be brought forth. Somebody sowed the seed.
Right.
We just heard the testimony of the increase in the light and the testimony that he has for the Lord. Why? Because somebody got busy.
Yeah, right.
Why not you? We sat around and said, there's nothing I can do. Man, there's plenty we can do.
Right.
We can do more mission work. We can support more missions this year. We can, here's a thought. God help, it ain't, you know, it's exciting, but it ain't exciting. But maybe we can lose another one of y'all. You said, lose another one, Richard. We already filling churches all up over the county. We don't need no more of that. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody being sent to the work of God. Like our brother here and his wife and child to the Blackfeet Indian. Ain't that exciting? I want to see him there this year. Amen. I want to see it. Hey, as much as it'll break my heart to lose another great family, amen, to the work of God, I'd like to see you go.
Yeah.
If God sees you, if God wants somebody to fill the shoes, God will put somebody back in here.
Yeah.
It ain't about just building up a little kingdom down here. It's about doing the work of God for God's kingdom around the world.
Amen.
Taking the gospel around the world.
Right.
Maybe you'll be the next one sent. Maybe you'll be the next one to break our heart to go forward to do something for the Lord. And while you're breaking it, we're rejoicing with you.
Amen.
Who will go?
Yeah.
Who? I want to see more. I'd like to see more churches planted.
Yeah.
More souls saved.
Amen.
More people helped. More growth in God's children. Amen. Hey, don't you? Balaam said, I saw the vision of the Almighty. You know what I believe? I believe it just might be the vision of the Almighty to see a little more work done, a little more witnessing, a little more consistency, a little more faithfulness to God till He comes. You know what? This could be the year He comes back. Very well could be. Are you ready? You say, preacher, they've been saying that a long time. Yeah, Noah said it a long time before the flood came, but it came.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know you've heard it all your life, especially in the South. Everybody's heard it. Jesus is coming. But you know what? One day, they're going to say He came.
Yeah, right.
And He done gone.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say down South. Will you be left behind? Hey, if He came, would you be found faithful? If He comes this year,
right.
Would He find you on the firing line? Would He find you pressing forward? Do you have a godly vision for the upcoming year? Maybe you really haven't really thought much about it in that aspect. Could I challenge you today to maybe find yourself on an altar this morning and say, God, give me a godly vision. Not some extra extraordinary light from heaven, but a burning in my heart of Bible truth to do something for you. A godly biblical vision. Where the Word of God has convicted my heart and challenged my life about souls, about my faithfulness, about the work of God, about seeing people grow in grace. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you're lost, today would be a great day to be saved. What greater way to start your new year off than to start it off as a child of God. God will save you today. Child of God, get a hold of the vision of the Almighty. Ask God to challenge your heart about this upcoming year. Ask God to show you what you can do for Him. How you can do more for Him. And walk in that life. As she plays and people are praying, maybe you need to come.